And now we bring you Viewpoint with Pete Steveson discussing the Bible's view of family relationships.
Today we're concluding our topic, friends. I've been describing the warnings that the book of Proverbs gives against the wrong kind of friends. But along with the warnings, there are also some positive instructions showing us that we ought to have good friends. In two separate passages, Solomon teaches that friends influence one another. For this reason, it's good to pick your friends carefully so that their influence on you will be a wholesome influence. Pure logic would tell you that this is true. A good friend is more apt to be reliable than an evil friend. Evil men live for themselves and, for that reason, may not take opportunities to help you unless it happens to suit their convenience. In Proverbs 17:17, Solomon advises us that friends act consistently no matter what the circumstances are that face them. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Notice the phrase, at all times. A true friend will show his love at all times, under all sorts of circumstances. The word adversity in the second half of the verse shows us that the friend will be faithful even in the midst of trials. Just as a natural brother would support you in the midst of difficulty, so a friend will demonstrate steadfast loyalty when problems occur. Now the brother is expected to show his loyalty because of his birth. The friend shows it because of his choice, because he's a faithful friend. The second verse that teaches this truth of influence occurs in Proverbs 27:10. Thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not, neither go into thy brother's house in the day of thy calamity, for better is a neighbor that is near than a brother far off. Here Solomon urges us not to violate our responsibility as a friend. The bond of loyalty that binds two people together in friendship is a reciprocal one. We, therefore, need to accept our responsibilities in friendship. Not only personal friends, but even family friends should be able to count on us for help. To illustrate the point, Solomon poses the prospect of some unexpected crisis. At that time, he says, it would be better to call on a nearby friend who could quickly help us than it would to appeal to our own brother if he lived far away. Even though the brother might have a family responsibility to help, the distance at which he lives rules out any possibility that he can give help within a reasonable period of time. And so, we go to a nearby friend to find the help we need. How do you find friends like this? How can you choose your friends so that they can build you up spiritually instead of tearing you down? Clearly, here, as in every area of life, we need to depend on the Lord to guide us. We can pray over our friends just as we pray over the other matters of life that are important to us. But also, we can look for the obvious. If a person has habits that clearly go contrary to the teachings of Scripture, we should not enter into a close relationship with him. And if a person seems to show a godly character in all of the various situations that he finds himself in, the chances are good that he would make a good friend. Personality, common interests, availability, all of these may enter into the decision of who you will make your close friends, but the spiritual should tower over all these in its importance. As you take this approach, you can be sure that the Lord will guide you to those friends that will bless your life.
You've just heard Viewpoint with Pete Steveson discussing the Bible's view of family relationships.